So I asked the miracle question. If a miracle happened today, tonight while you were sleeping, and you wake up tomorrow and you're living your miracle, everything that you desire to do, there are no limitations, financial, anything at all. It's a miracle. And you're doing something. What are you doing? Where are you? Who are you serving? How are you serving them? That miracle question usually just births so much, because that's possibly where that woman needs to be.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. How do you discover your purpose? And what does it mean to live in purpose? Many of the women who come to me who aren't yet ready to launch a business ask me, how do I discover my purpose? And truthfully, I think everyone's journey is unique. For me, it has always been through seeking what was next for me by going on a silent meditation retreat and sitting in silence. So you may have heard me mention those retreats before. And that's what I did to find the answers to the most pressing questions I had about what was next for me, whether it was about relationships or my career or whatever I was seeking at any given moment. And it was clear that I was not being in my corporate job any longer, but that my time in corporate uniquely prepared me for the business coach that I am today. And the same is likely true of you. You bring everything with you to the table when you step into your purpose. In my mind, it's including all the experiences that you've had through your entire life, from childhood, through your professional life, through your education, and the causes that you care about and that you believe in, and what you love most about life and what you love most in this world. And today I have a very special guest to share with you, someone who I've come to know and love deeply and who I appreciate. And her name is Dr. Nadine Collins. So welcome to Life After Corporate, Dr. Nadine Collins.
Thank you so much for having me, Deb. I truly appreciate being here today.
Well, and congratulations on the publication of your new book, The Pursuit of Purpose. That's amazing.
Yes, thank you so much.
Yeah, we're going to dive into talking about some of the things that you mentioned in the book. But first, I want to introduce you to Nadine. Dr. Nadine Collins holds a PhD in education with an emphasis on administration and higher education. She has a master's degree in educational psychology and an undergrad degree in behavioral sciences with an emphasis on psychology. She has published numerous academic and theoretical articles on marginalized groups, especially women. Nadine is a women's leadership expert and empowerment coach, an international speaker, and a multi-time author. She is on a fearless mission to empower Christian women to break through the indoctrination and the mentally constructed glass ceiling, I love that term, that is hindering their advancement to uncover their divine purpose and build successful lives around it while making their unique impact on the world. Dr. Nadine helps women build their speaking platforms and write and publish world-class books through her one-on-one and group coaching programs. So Nadine, I had the pleasure of reading your book, and it was truly enlightening because I didn't know your backstory. And you do have a life after corporate story. It was a very short life in corporate, but there was a life after corporate story in there. So tell us a little bit about your background and what brought you from being raised in the Bahamas and Barbados and going to school in Trinidad and then getting your PhD in the Philippines. I mean, I think your international career started right when you were in college and high school. But tell us a little bit more about your background and what led you to this work today.
Yes. So I grew up in St. Lucia, born and raised, and I am also a citizen of Barbados. I did live in Trinidad, studied and lived in Trinidad for 8 years Then I migrated to the Philippines for 3, where I actually studied for my PhD in an international, actually an American-based, but international school over there. And so it's been a very unique experience living in different countries, being exposed to different cultures. And I believe along all of these journeys, there was one thing that always remained with me, and that is the idea that we need to fulfill purpose. And so, yeah, my international maybe career as a speaker, maybe I didn't realize what was happening because most people don't. We tend to take things for granted while we're in the moment. And it's at a different point in our lives, we're able to connect all of the dots. And I think my life, the dots in my life have been connected for a really long time.
I know. In the book, you say you were born with purpose. And so you've had this faith and this connection that purpose has gone along with you at every step of the way. And I think that's unique for most women because you had a sense that you were being led along to a divine journey and all you had to do was sort of follow instructions. Tell us about how you became connected that closely to God, as you mentioned in the book, the sense of purpose, which also led you to ministry as well as the work you do today.
Yeah. So as a little girl, in the book, I speak about my journey and starting with, you know, my kind of like basic, but lifestyle in a sense, and how I was bullied at an early age throughout school. And so while I was going through all of that, one of the things I never felt led to do was to become anybody else. So I saw how my bullies would take control of other people's lives. And the only way for you to get by was for you to join them. But in my little mind, I thought, I'm not joining anybody. So I prefer to cry after I leave or after they leave my presence instead of me compromising and becoming like them. And so even though I was always around a lot of people, I grew up very active in different clubs and choirs. And I enjoyed my childhood and my adolescent life. Even though I was being bullied, I still believe it was a full life. And in the midst of everything that I was going through, there was always this desire for me to be me. That's the irony. It was always about being myself. And so whether I fit in or not, I still want to be me. And one of the things that really helped me to get grounded into that somewhat of a divine seeking was my example of my grandmother, who was a very devout Christian, and she believed in prayer. I looked at her and how dedicated she was to God and to her prayer life. And she had this little red book with a cross on the front, and it was a prayer book. And when you open that book, there were all sorts of colors, green and orange and different ranges of these very same colors in highlighting. And I'm thinking, how does she even know what to focus on? But all I saw was a powerful woman. And as a young lady, I watched and I thought to myself, I want that. I want that type of relationship with God. I want to feel how my grandmother feels, because she would make these comments like, I feel as if I'm God's only child. And I wanted to feel that too, Deb. I wanted to know what it was like to be able to feel as if I was God's only child. So I was somewhat jealous of her relationship, but a good jealousy. And I was on that journey to find out how I could connect with God by myself. I didn't want to know him through church. I didn't want to know him through doctrines. I didn't want to know him through anything else. I wanted my relationship too. And so that is what I believe led me on this path of wanting to know God. And then now seeking to find out the very things I teach right now, ironically, are all aligned with my own lifestyle of why am I here? What am I meant to do?
Right. And, you know, throughout the book, you talk about the questions you asked and what you were praying for. How did you develop? Did you always have that deep trust and faith that what you ask for, you will receive? Or were you tested? Did you ever doubt that?
It is so strange that you actually mentioned what you ask for, you'll receive, because I just spoke for a book club on that very same topic recently. But the thing is, my grandmother, again, I grew up seeing how hard she worked, how she took care of our family, an extended family home with a single salary, a very low wage, And I could not understand how we were never in need. We never lacked anything. In fact, we probably had abundance. And I looked at when we went to events, how every event we go to, we'd have a new outfit. You know, when it was Christmas time and other vacations, where especially Christmas, our house just would, there would be so much food and she would have our front door open so that anybody passing by can come eat. And so when I saw how my grandmother was, I think made this connection that we were so blessed because of her dedication to God and her prayer life, because I could not understand how, you know, one little salary can take care of an entire family and give us so much. And so I believe the basis was really the example that was before me, that if I am connected to God, if I'm connected to Him as my source, there is nothing that I cannot have. And there was a specific thing that happened to me when I was around 18 or 19 years old. At the time, I was working in an office of a company that managed a few supermarkets, a supermarket chain. And I remember desktop computers were now coming in, and I did a lot of work on my computer at work. So I would do bookmarks, cards, these types of things. Back in the day, Word Publisher was big. And so I would use that and explore and everything. And so I used to also type up new documents for folks on the side. And then I thought to myself, hey, I really want to own my own computer. Now they were in offices, but they were now becoming something that people could have in their homes. At that time, I read one chapter of a book, How to Know God's Will in Your Life. And I believe that first chapter changed my life, because when I read it, the author said, to know God's will, you must have no will of your own. And in my young mind, I'm thinking, that's impossible. How could I not have a will? How could I not want something or have a direction of what I want? And so I decided that I was going to test this thing out. And so I had an appointment at the bank, and it was for me to get a loan for the computer. But right before I got inside, I said, God, I really want this computer. But if you do not want it this way, or you don't want me to have it, I don't want it. So it was like I was opening myself to trying out having no will. And so there I was sitting in the office, the loans officer took my job letter, my payslip and everything, put everything in his computer and looked at me and said, it's really strange. You qualify on paper, but I put you in the system and you don't qualify. So there under my breath, I said, okay, I guess that's not God's will. So he looked at me and he was like, what? I said, no, it's okay. Thank you so much. He was like, I could speak to my supervisor. We can do it. I was like, no, it's fine. I left that bank. I will never forget what it was like when I stepped out, how bright and sunny and everything it was. And I was like, yes, because I tried it. And I figured, okay, well, this was not his will. But 2 weeks later, a couple that I would type up legal documents for came into my office and said, hey, Nadine, how did things go? Did you get that loan for your computer? And I said, no, I didn't. I said, the bank said I didn't qualify. And they're like, really? Because you help us so much, we want to give you 50% of the money that you need for your computer.
Wow. So
that is when I got addicted to knowing what the will of God is for my life. Because I realized that if I had pressed it, as the loans officer had suggested, I would get the loan. But I would have paid three times the amount of money, you know, in interest and everything. But God had a different plan. And so it was from that early age, around 18 or 19, where I began to go to Him to know what His plans were. So I don't find myself in jams. And I know that what I'm doing is blessed and He has a way. And so that was the beginning of me seeking Him, knowing what that will is so that I can find it out and I can free that will and I can experience the blessings of being in that.
You are such an inspiration in your faith. So let's fast forward to today. You know, you've had a long journey. You're an in-demand global speaker. How many countries have you spoken in? Do you keep track?
I know I've visited like 78 plus, and most of them I've spoken at. So, yeah.
Yeah, 78, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, so in-demand global speaker, minister to many, and also a professional coach, a business coach. So tell us what led you from, you know, the ministry and serving God and speaking to churches all around the world to helping other women find their purpose. And how do you help other women find their purpose? I'm curious.
Yeah, I will abridge that journey story. Interesting. I was finishing up my PhD and I made a deal with God again. The deal was, I said, if I finish 1 year early, I want to do ministry for the 1 year. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter to me. Finish 1 year early, just go out there and dedicate that time to do something that's outside of school and myself. And so said, I finished 1 year early. I also asked him for another gift. I wanted to defend on my birthday. So a year and a half in advance, I say, Lord, can I defend on my birthday July 10th? And I got, okay, that's going to happen. We'll do that. But as I got closer to the time, it seemed that it wasn't going to happen, even though all my work was prepared. Anyways, I asked for a birthday gift. My birthday gift, I said, Lord, I want to have a flawless defense. I'd never heard of it before, but I wanted it. I didn't want to have any changes to make. I defended. When they came and they announced, okay, I passed, they said, and she has no recommendations. All right.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing.
So
PhD with no recommendations.
No recommendations to my doctoral dissertation. No changes to make. And so that was, so now I finished in 3 years and now I got the gift I asked for, no recommendations. So now here I am at a crossroads where a university invites me to take up a position in an area that I love, to head their research department. I love research. In fact, I just finished co-authoring a chapter in a new research book, right? I was the lead author on a chapter on phenomenology. And so I'm excited about the job, but hey, I made a pact with God. And so I wrote the university. I said, listen, I could take the job, but I need 1 year. If you could hold it for 1 year, I'll come. They said, okay, we will hold the job for you. But 6 months in, they came back and said, we don't think we can hold it for another 6 months. Are you able to come? I said, well, I made an arrangement with God, so I cannot come. So it's okay. I released the job. You can hire the other person. Now, that happened. 2 years later, I got a call from another university. The president calls. He said, we were having a meeting. We need somebody to fill in the position of research and innovation director. And I said, I know the perfect person for the job. But I said, I'm not sure if she's coming back into the academic space. You know, are you planning to? I said, no, I'm planning to just stay in full-time ministry. That's it. So that was my journey into switching things up. Just knowing that, first of all, I made the agreement with God. I honored that. And he was leading me differently. So when I finished my PhD, I was on vacation in London. While I was there, I got a call. Somebody asking me to speak at a church. And I thought that was weird. I thought the pastor maybe misunderstood what I studied. But I answered the call anyhow. Of course, I took a few days to do it. And I was thinking, God, are you crazy? Is the pastor crazy? Like, is this a joke? Because how could he ask me to speak at church when I'm not a theologian? I didn't go to school for that. Anyways, I took the appointment. I did that. The following week, I went to another church in London. I was singing there. And when I was done singing after church, a lady came asking me to sing at her church the following month. I'm like, well, I'm passing through. I'm heading to the US now. And she said, give me your email and phone number. Took that stuff. And I thought I would never hear from her again. But that lady began to write me, call me, saying to me, Nadine, God said it's your time to speak. She doesn't know me, never heard me speak, heard me sing, but she was insistent. She went through all levels of the church organization to get money. Nobody could get money to give her to help to bring me back. She wanted me to speak at her event. So first she asked me to sing. Then she came back and said, in the same conversation, less than 5 minutes, she said, and by the way, we've been praying about a speaker and God said, it's you. And that's why when she was calling me and emailing me, she was saying, it's your time to speak. The lady went to her bank. She got a new credit card, activated it, called me, gave me the number. And I was there in the UK 3 weeks later.
Wow.
And she introduced me to everybody that day and said, hey, this is our speaker, Dr. Joseph. She's a powerful woman of God. And I'm watching the lady and I'm thinking, what is wrong with her?
Did you, in that moment, did you feel a little bit of imposter, what we call imposter syndrome today?
I didn't feel it, but I was feeling like this was not my life. Like, what is going on? Like, how could she be telling everybody I'm a powerful speaker? How could she be saying she's a powerful woman of God and she never heard me? It was just weird. It was crazy, but I was just going along with God. Mm-hmm. And that is the beginning of how I just began taking speaking engagements. Started there in the UK and it's just been going and I go back there pretty often. Now, as it relates to women, so my purpose, first how I discovered mine, is just aligning with God. These things preceded my actual intentional effort. There was a time I went to a retreat in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And when I got back to New York, I was in the apartment and I was fasting and praying on a Wednesday. And I said, God, I need you to tell me what I'm supposed to do for this phase of my life. I knew my purpose. I knew I was fulfilling something in different areas when I worked at the university, when I was doing this or that. But this phase of my life, I need to know, because Deb, to be quite honest, there's this thing inside of me. I feel like if I'm not fulfilling my purpose, I'd rather be dead. And that was my feeling when I was in undergrad a long time ago. I literally wrote a thought that says, if you haven't found your purpose in life, it's almost not worth living. And so even when I was finishing my PhD, I remember in April 2014, I said to God, if you have no purpose for me, take me out. Because I could not imagine 9 to 5. I could not imagine just doing a job for the money, just doing it to pay bills. I wanted more. And that is what led me to that intentional search. And a few years later, I'm asking him, what do you want me to do? And as we're speaking right now, it was very clear in my New York apartment, he was speaking to me, tell me this is what you do. The books I've written on prayer. This is the person you contact on this TV station. This is what you do. And I am in one room shouting to my husband, God is telling me to do this. God is telling me to do that. You know, it was just amazing. Just being open to being redirected. And that is where many women, we actually get stuck because we're so, so tied to what we know, to our education, to our experience, to our knowledge, and we're not open to being led out of the path to purpose, to fulfilling purpose. It's a path where you're willing to be a clean slate, where you're willing to start over if that's what it takes. But I can tell you, it's never start over. It may feel like it, but everything that you would have done actually helps to really position you to operate in your purpose fully.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And in a prior episode, we had an interview with Genevieve Perturo, who is the founder of the Pajama Project, which also came to her in a similar way of providing children in underserved communities with pajamas to sleep in at night. And now that turned into a huge nonprofit. And she speaks a lot about purpose. And So purpose for you was just taking instructions from God and being willing to give up, trying to control. I guess the opposite of that is having will and wanting to control all the outcomes And instead allowing for that divine inspiration and intuition. I remember there's so many life-changing events, you know, whether women are going through a divorce or they've just lost a job out of their control, or suddenly they're empty nesters, there's no more children at home. And those are moments when you start to question, why am I here? Mm-hmm. You know, or is this all there is? So when you work with women who are discovering their purpose, describe to me that woman. You know, where is she in her life? What is she thinking? What has she experienced? And what does she want?
Yeah. The thing about the women that I work with, which seem to be like a similar thread, all, if not most of them, have already advanced degrees. They either undergrad, masters, some of them PhDs and stuff like that. They have really amazing jobs, doing really well. Some of them making really good money and stuff like that, and already having some level of impact. But what happens to them, I think, is probably partly what happened to me when I finished my PhD, where I reached this point of, I have a higher level education. I believe that I am being called to something higher. And so a lot of these women are at that point of saying to themselves, this is not it. I may be doing well. I have one client and she had this huge job in DC, very well educated, PhD, RN, all sorts of like amazing accolades and very brilliant. And she was like, it doesn't feel like it. And I literally sometimes feel my clients. I can feel where they are. And I thought I needed to offer her one of my programs, which was a lower level program. When she went and she did the first module, she wrote to say she wants more. I had to go and unlock everything for her. And that is when a lot of discovery came, because she was feeling as if she was, and a lot of them feel like that too. If I do not operate in my area of expertise, I went to school for so many years to study, then my family, my husband, they may feel as if I am wasting time or maybe something is wrong with me. And so these women have a desire to do something different and something more, even though they don't know what it is yet. But in their lives, they feel as if they are letting people down. And so most of these women is this desire for, I want greater meaning. I want to be able to add greater value. And to be honest with you, sometimes it's right in their face. They just don't see it.
No, that's amazing. So you as their guide, how do you work with people? And I know we made a leap from, you know, ministry and to coaching, but I think what our listeners really want to know is that answer to how do I discover my purpose? So somewhere along the way, you opened up to this coaching and leading other women. And so your own pursuit of purpose led you to helping other people pursue their purpose. Mm-hmm. And then you created a course because you were such an in-demand speaker and so good at it. Other people wanted to have that platform as well. So tell us about how your business journey from the first time you decided, I am more than my ministry, I'm being called to become an entrepreneur to help other women.
Yeah, that one was rough because I wasn't looking to do that. It wasn't something that I desired to do. It was never even in my mind to do. It's almost like it just happened, you know? I remember I was in Bali on a retreat. The coach was saying to me, Nadine, you should teach other women how to speak. You're so good. You're this. You're... And I'm thinking, no way I'm doing that. I'm not doing that. You know, traveling and speaking was enough. And then as I filmed, you know, a little something, I realized like it's probably what I was called to do. And in fact, the first woman I ever worked with, I didn't even go to her to tell her anything. I had no program. She came to me and said, hi, Dr. Nadine, thank you. We met at a retreat. She said, this is my story and I'm ready to tell it and I want you to help me. I'm thinking, what is this? You know? And so she came. And so that is what began that journey of helping women, for example, use their voice to know their purpose. And you asked the question a while ago, like, how do people find that purpose? Usually I take people on a little journey, women, when I have a discovery call with them. The first thing I do, I have a lead magnet as well on purpose. I ask people about their perception about purpose. Because if you do not believe that you're brought here in the world for a specific reason, you will never be in search of what that is. So it starts with a belief that I am here to do something amazing and I need to find what it is. Somebody who does not believe that will never be in pursuit of that and they will just go in, like, just do life just like the status quo, just live with the norm. A woman now who knows that I may not know why I'm here, but I know I'm here for something, she'll be doing everything possible to find out what it is. And that's the kind of pursuit I take women on. So I ask questions. And at first, we're of course dealing with the beliefs about if what they believe about purpose, and also to help them now dismantle. You say you like the word mentally constructed glass ceiling, the phrase?
Yes, that was going to be my next question.
Okay, so I'll tell a little bit about it. It's the fact that it came from my doctoral dissertation, that phrase was stemmed from there based on what I found. So what happens is that a lot of women, when I ask them, when I go to speak, you know, like, what is your role? Sometimes I ask them, like, not is your what your role, but I ask them, who are you? When I ask that question, who are you? Most women would respond with the roles that they play. I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a this, I'm a that. And so then it's about breaking the mindset of I am my role. And we're still talking about discovering purpose. That's part of the process, is to now strip myself of all of these things that make me feel that I am who I am, to really go now to the core of me as a woman. And so when we're looking at the discovery of purpose, we look at everything. We look at your life experiences, the good, the bad experiences. We look at the things that you're good at, naturally good at. We look at the things that you're passionate about, the things that you may be excited about in life, just in general. What sets your soul on fire? And so I have women list these experiences, negative ones, positive ones, what they're willing to invest for in their lives. And then one of them, questions that really helped me get breakthroughs with women is something I learned when I did solution-focused counseling training, where we ask people a miracle question. That question usually would lead us to a place of where that woman is supposed to be. So I asked the miracle question, if a miracle happened today, tonight while you were sleeping and you wake up tomorrow and you're living your miracle, everything that you desire to do, there are no limitations, financial, anything at all. It's a miracle. And you're doing something. What are you doing? Where are you? Who are you serving? How are you serving them? That miracle question usually just births so much because that's possibly where that woman needs to be. We look at the life experience and all of that. Sometimes when you look at it, all of it is actually connected to the miracle. So it's a journey, but it's something that's so possible and not as hard as we actually make it seem. Because as I said, usually it's right there in the face of a woman. She just needs the right questions, etc.
Oh my God, we're 30 minutes in. I hope everyone wrote that question down. You know, if a miracle were to occur, what would be happening? What would you want? What would your life be like? Who would you be serving? How would you be spending your time? Who would you be spending your time with, I assume, as well? That's amazing. So you take them on the journey of purpose. What happens after a woman says, I've got it. I've got it. I know what my miracle life is. I'm ready to pursue my purpose. What happens next?
Usually, most of them, it's either they're speaking or they're writing. That's how I ended up with these two. And so they want to use their voice. They want to use their story to really help empower somebody else. And that's when sometimes I bring them into the speaker program and some of them into the book program. But it's usually something about transformation. Even in my lower level programs, like my Runway to Soul program, women actually get all of that in the modules. And they're able to, on their own, since it's a self-study program, able to start their businesses. I've had clients from that $9.97 program launch their own coaching businesses, start their own schools. I've had about 4 clients who started schools in 2020. And so, yeah, just from Runway to Soul, some of them only paying $7 when I was beta testing it, but now they have their own schools in Montreal, in St. Lucia, in Jamaica. There's somewhere else, 4 of them. I remember in 2020, he launched his schools. And so it's usually about them being able to feel empowered to do what it is now they were meant to do. That's really the whole point of helping women uncover their purpose, is to help them to feel unstoppable and do things that they thought they couldn't do. And I want to read something for you. I got a message from one of my clients this morning. She's doing the Runway to Soul program in one of the modules. And she said, oh my goodness, what is this? I have had myself in a mental prison with self and societal impositions, influenced by upbringing, indoctrination, implied teachings about gender roles and peer pressure. Well, suppose I could do anything I wanted to be, what would I become? Now I'm feeling so powerful beyond measure. I think I may need to start this module over. That is what I want women to feel like, just empowered to do whatever it is you're meant to do. Just be empowered to do it. That is the whole idea of women uncovering their purpose, so that they feel unstoppable, you know?
Well, I, for one, am glad that you followed your purpose. I'm glad that you're here. And for those of you who don't know what your purpose is, go see Dr. Nadine Collins, get clear on your purpose, and then come back and we can launch your business. But I also love how you were intuitively guided to a beautiful business model. So as a business coach, I can't help but say, wow, you help women discover their purpose. And then, you know, some of them want to become speakers and tell their stories or write their stories. And you've developed an ascension model, what we call an ascension model, right? So they take Runway to Soar, discover your purpose, and then they may enroll in one or both of your other programs. So you're a super savvy businesswoman as well. And I so appreciate you sharing your personal journey with our listeners here today. And how can people get in touch with you? First of all, how can they get a copy of the book? Let's see the book, The Pursuit of Purpose. That's what this is all about.
This is the hard copy, y'all. And for those who order the hard copy, they will get it in a nice box with a bookmark and everything like that. I wanted to give people a real purpose experience. So, you know, it will come in a box like this. Have a beautiful there for them.
And for those of you who are listening, we're on video right now. So you'll have to go grab the video version of this to see the cover of the book. It's beautiful. And I happen to know Dr. Nadine Collins quite well, and she's the real deal. And I'm so grateful to have you on the show. So where do they get the book? What's the link they go to? How do they find it?
Go to my website here, nadinecollins.com. It's on Amazon, but Amazon has the paperback. But I am encouraging people to get their hard copies because it's so beautiful and also it's more long-lasting and everything, so that they can have a greater experience. I want them to get the real purpose experience. And so the hard copies are for that. I cannot put it on Amazon. And I do have a link here for the hard copies if people want autographed hard copies.
Well, we'll put all of these links in the show notes so people can get them there as well. Nadine, thank you so much for spending time with me today. And thank you for following your guidance and helping women discover their purpose. You're a true gift to this world.
Thank you so much, Deb, for having me and providing this platform as well, where we can grow thanks to being an excellent coach as well. I really appreciate working with you. And I'm excited for all of the ladies who will get their hands on this book, because I know it's going to transform their lives.
Download this book, The Pursuit of Purpose. It's a wonderful, inspiring story and will help you discover your own. That's it for now, my friends, for this episode of Life After Corporate. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love. Uh-huh.